Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events, sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Hi, everybody. This is Kim. Thanks so much for being here tonight. We've got people out in radio land, as well as people on the switchboard in the chat. Really happy to have you here tonight. When I was thinking about what we could talk about this week, I decided to draw on my own experience, and I'm just going to tell you real briefly where that experience is coming from. The subject we're going to talk a little bit about tonight is routine and how routine helps us through the process of recovery. And why did I think of that today? It's been an interesting few weeks. A lot of you regular listeners know that about 5 weeks ago, we had to put down one of our dogs. I was having a very hard time with that. And I was going through that natural grieving process for the last month. And we were going to be having our bathroom remodeled. I think the last time that was done was the year I was born. And if that gives you a clue, the Barbie doll was born in the same year I was. So that's a long time ago. In any case, a week ago, my husband came home and surprised me with a brand new puppy. And a lot of you have heard me talk about Libby and this dog situation. Tonight, if you're online and you're watching the pictures scrolling on the program page, you'll see a picture of me and Libby if you haven't caught her on the Facebook page yet. So I got this brand new puppy I'm trying to potty train, 8 weeks old, behind grief. From losing Annie, and then 3 days after Libby came to live, our bathroom remodeling project started. And so I've been locked in a back office for the better part of 2 weeks so that the dogs don't run out onto the busy street with all of the chaos and the workmen going on at the same time. And what's happened? Well, I've gotten some anxiety, pretty uptight, extremely tired and worn out, and a lot of things that happen when I deviate from the routine that I've gotten set up for myself since I entered the world of recovery, which in one fashion or another, as a lot of you know, I think is an ongoing process through our lifetime. So when I decided to talk about the impact of routine in recovery, I started to do some research not long ago this evening, and boy, did I get lucky. God has really been good to me, and nothing happens in God's world by mistake. But one of the first places that I went, Googled, when I was looking for some support material for my topic, was a place called Recovery Ranch. That's recoveryranch.com. And they had an article that was the words right out of my mouth. I thought it was outstanding. And they happened to have a live chat line. And so I got on there and I talked to a woman. I said, is there any chance that someone of authority might be available in an hour to come on a radio show with me and talk a little bit about what they do at Recovery Ranch and help support me talking about the importance of routine in helping us all recover. And by golly, it actually happened. My guest tonight is one of the directors for Recovery Ranch. His name is Matt Eggleston, and I am going to bring Matt on the line in just 1 second. I'm going to talk to Matt just a little bit about Recovery Ranch. I will be typing all of the contact information into the chat room. We'll be saying it out loud, and I'll update my program notes tomorrow with that website. But right now, I want to introduce you to Matt. Are you with us, Matt?
I am, Kim. Thank you for asking me to be on the show tonight. It really is my honor to be here tonight. I think you've got a wonderful story, personal story, and I love your show. So thank you for asking me to be here this evening.
Thank you so much. One thing I'm going to do is just give them a brief, because now that I've got you live, I'm not going to read them this whole article out in Radio Land. We're going to discuss some of these point by point, and then I'm going to have you tell us just a little bit about Recovery Ranch. But in view of the topic first, I think...
Sure.
What I'm going to do is just read a little blurb here. You'll see where I'm going if everyone will just hang with me for a moment. The way their article started out was, many people mistakenly associate the word routine with an activity that is boring and repetitive. When you're in recovery, however, the word takes on entirely different connotations. The truth is that establishing and adhering to a routine can help someone in recovery in many different ways. What are those ways? How does routine help in recovery? And let's take a look at some of them. What I'm going to do now is just read you a short list, and on their website they have a longer description of each of these things. He and I are going to back up and talk about these things a little bit, but I'm going to read them to you so you guys will have a little backstory for what we're going to talk about. A few of those things. Number one, routine helps ease anxiety. And maybe we'll just do these a little bit one by one. Matt, for me, one of the ways that routine helps anxiety for me is that if I have, a regular routine, things that I can count on that I do every day, reasons to make me wake up, activities in my life that give me purpose, that keep me out of myself and into others. There's a lot of people that are listening tonight that do a lot of service out in the aneurysm community, the traumatic brain injury community, a lot of networking on boards of various associations. So there's a lot of service-oriented people here. And for me, part of my routine is going to a support group meeting, which I do several times a week. That keeps me from isolating and feeling terminally unique. It gives me a lot of tips to help me continue with my recovery. And when that isolation goes away and I have meaning and destination, it helps lower my anxiety, because instead of carrying 100% of it on my shoulders, I'm spreading it out with the other people in the group. What do you think?
Well, Kim, I think you said it exactly. Again, thanks for letting me be on the show tonight. You know, as far as the relationship between routine and anxiety, so many of us, and I say us, that are in recovery, whether it be from addiction, you know, alcoholism or substance abuse, trauma survivors, eating disorder afflictions, sex addiction, any of the addictions, any of those process addictions, or any of us that have suffered through a post-traumatic stress disorder or some other significant injury like that. At our worst moments, our lives are full of chaos. And while we seem to be able to thrive at times in that chaos, there is something settling about having a routine and something that brings us together, whether we're in a community of people that are suffering. We'll use substance abuse for an example, because at the ranch we work with, obviously one of the things we work with is substance abuse. And when you're with that common group of people that all have suffered through that same issue, and you see that there's a commonality in purpose, you see that there's a routine that works for the person next to you, it gives you hope. And so if you see it works for the person next to you, and it gives you that hope, you're able to kind of buy in. And so routine will serve, whether it means going to a meeting at 12 noon every day after lunch, prayer every morning and at night, you know, reading some kind of self-help literature, making sure that you take a medication at the same time each day. Those are all healthy behaviors. And for most of us that have gone through one of these issues and faced these issues in our lives, routine goes right out the window. Those traumatic events we face, they completely throw it upside down. Substance abuse, mental health issues. Those issues, those afflictions attack routine. And so what we try to do at the ranch is we try to work with our clients to appreciate what it means to have healthy routines, healthy behavior patterns, and to embrace that. But I think one of the points that's very important is not only is routine important, but we also need to prepare our clients and ourselves for what happens when we get away from that routine. What happens when, you know, we're supposed to take our medication at 9 a.m. every morning, but we run out because we forgot to do it. And what kind of chaos does that throw into our life, and how do we handle that? So the importance of routine, but also being able to handle when that routine is upset by some cause other than ourselves. You know, those are all important to being able to manage that anxiety. And you'll see, whether it's a physical ailment, an injury, a post-traumatic stress disorder issue, an addiction, if we're able to handle that anxiety, we're able to move through that day or that hour or that next 10 minutes in a much more effective manner and not let that affliction run our lives.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point. One of the people in the chat room was talking about he's going on a trip. And he's got so many things to do to get ready for the trip that are pulling him off his stride, just like the unique set of circumstances that I've got going on right now that have pulled me off my stride. The second point you talk about on here is routine helps promote stability. And something you alluded to a few minutes ago is that when I'm off my routine, you know, that number one, that anxiety starts to rise and my mood isn't as stable. And so my
Absolutely.
Dealings with other people aren't as stable, and that can cause relationship problems, whether it's at work or if you can't work with, you know, your relationship with your family, friends, significant others. So about the stability.
Well, stability is equally important. And having a routine, again, does help us in our daily lives. Remember, most of us, again, that have gone through one of these issues or are currently dealing with one of these issues, we lack stability so often in our lives. We seem to have a penchant for allowing the chaotic issues to dominate the choices we make. And, you know, by the very nature of our affliction, we lead these unstable lives. And so if you can give someone who has had one of these, you know, has an addiction or has a mental health issue or has suffered a serious injury, a serious ailment, some kind of stability in their life, they see how it's manageable. And, you know, our lives for years have been unmanageable. And to actually experience what I guess is freedom from that unmanageability is a very powerful. You know, it's life-changing to actually discover that in spite of the fact that I've had this, you know, these following things happen in my life, life is still manageable. You know, to your person that's blogging about going on a trip and how it's overwhelming, I'm terrible in those situations. I come home hours before I'm even supposed to, just trying to start packing, and I'm running around the house. And finally, my wife says, "Settle down. You know, we're going on this trip. It's only 2 days. You don't need to pack two suitcases. You know, breathe." Sometimes taking a breath and sitting down is the most stable thing you can do for a moment. And so
yes.
I would tell the person that's blogging, relax, sit down, stop packing, and just breathe for a moment. And take it in for what it is. He's going out of town. He's going on a trip. And you'll make it through this, or this too shall pass. You know, but to your point about stability, for years and years and years in my own personal life, I lacked all stability. In fact, my disease and my affliction that I suffered from, my addiction, actually lived off of that lack of stability, that lack of manageability. And it perpetuated itself to where it became more and more serious and almost fatal.
Right.
So the stability that actually a routine and some of the other things I did because I saw other people do them and saw that they worked really helped save my life.
Absolutely, me too. And I think for traumatic brain injury survivors and a lot of us that have had brain trauma and various manifestations, you know, we talk about doing routine things, whether it's the cleaning, the laundry, grocery shopping, making meals, household chores. But one thing that I'll say to our particular audience is that I know a lot of you get help with some of those items and aren't physically or mentally able to do all of the things on the list anymore. But I think the message here about the stability is, you know, it's progress, not perfection, and you just pick a couple of those things that you can do. Too many times we'll bite off more than we can chew, and because we can't do the whole nut, we say screw it to the whole deal. So
absolutely, and with some of your people that are listeners and some of the people that face these traumatic brain injuries that many of your listeners have suffered from, you're right, they can't do some of the what would seem to be an ordinary task. But tackle what you can do and take pride in the fact that you're doing what you can do. It may not seem to your old self to be that significant, but if you can tackle the small things, okay, the things that you're able to do, that in and of itself will give you stability. It'll actually give you some pride. And so don't have unreal expectations. Unreal expectations are so destructive to all of us, regardless of what type of recovery we're in. Set your expectations at a real level. And then and then take the pride in actually reaching those expectations. If you don't, then you may need to adjust them. You know, you may need to think, okay, I can't do this. I have this ailment. I suffer from this. That is not a legitimate expectation. But maybe this is. And then the next day you try it again and you see what happens. You don't let the unreal expectation defeat you.
Right. Callers, I just want to let you know, I see a few of you are on the line. I appreciate you holding. I'm going to go through our topic a little bit before I take your calls. So continue to hold, if you will. We're going to go through a few more points, and then I'll take a call. You guys know that from my brain injury, if you break my train of thought, it may never come back. So we'll go through these a little bit. what Matt was just talking about bleeds into the next point, where I would like to read the first paragraph of this. I really liked the, actually, I'm lying, it's the first two paragraphs.
Well, it's your show, so you get to do you get to run the show, so you read what you want.
Yes, but in view of where I called and got my guest, I have to be accountable, so I'm going to clean it up for a minute. Number three, routine adds to your self-confidence. What this article had, the beginning of what this article has to say, let's say you've created a daily routine and have started to follow it. Day by day, you do exactly what you have on your list. At first, it's probably hard to stick to some of the items on your routine. You may feel exhausted or unable to follow through on some, especially if it means that you have to put yourself out or interact with others. Maybe you are uncertain of your communication skills and still tend to shy away from contact, especially with strangers or persons in authority. Here are some suggestions how to handle routine in the early days of recovery. The trick with routines is not to overburden yourself with too much to begin with. Start off slow. During the first month or so of recovery, just tend to what's absolutely necessary. This means taking good physical care of yourself by eating nutritious and well-balanced meals. Eat three meals a day, no skipping breakfast, which admittedly I more often do than not. Get some physical exercise daily, even if it means walking down the block and back or taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Be sure to get a full 8 to 9 hours of sleep each night. This helps establish a rhythm in your body and get your inner body clock attuned to the cyclical pattern. And this is where that acronym that I've talked about more than once on this program comes in, and that's HALT, Hungry, Angry, Lonely, Tired. One of the things that's happened this last couple of weeks where I've had so much going on that's out of the norm in my life and that's knocked me, prevented me from staying on my routine, has caused me to not eat regularly the way I have before. It's caused me to be extremely tired because it's so much more than I'm used to dealing with in different ways than I'm used to having to think. That makes me feel a little bit lonely because I'm away from my support group and the people that bring me comfort by day. I'm blessed to still be showing up every Wednesday for my radio crowd and coming to the radio show where I am getting some of that support supplemented. But then I get angry. You know, when I'm hungry and lonely and tired, I wind up getting angry. And yesterday I gave the contractor a little bit of a earful because I said, geez, you're one of the few occupations I know of that consistently can make a plan with someone and have it not work out. You know, if the rest of us had that accountability, we wouldn't be in jobs.
So, that's right.
I talked to my husband about this, and he said, well, you know, and my husband is a very calm guy. He's been in recovery for a long time, and he gave me a little grief about saying what I said to this guy. And I said, honey, you don't understand. It was the 105 things that shot through my mind like a shotgun bullets first that I didn't say. You know, I didn't raise my voice. I didn't swear at the guy. I tried to keep an edge of humor on it, and I kept my mouth shut over three quarters of the things I had to say because I was really pissed.
Well, you know, Kim, that's a great illustration. You know, our bodies, you know, one of the things at the ranch that we teach our clients and we work with them is that our bodies, our moods, the way we treat other people, it sends us signals. It tells us what's going on. And sometimes we're not in tune. You know, we're flying off the handle one direction. The chaos has taken over our lives. Our bodies and our minds and our spirits and our emotions, you know, we can't always trust the emotions. But the rest of us is telling us something's wrong. You know, you're not doing the things you do. that help maintain that serenity. And I mean serenity across the board.
Yes.
Whether, again, it's in some form of traditional recovery or recovery from an injury or something like that. You know, I know, for instance, that if the client that has bipolar is not taking their medication and, you know, all of a sudden they start seeing those mood swings and they start snapping at their spouse or their child, and the chaos starts to come in, you can see that. And again, that's why routine is so important for that stability, to keep us from having those moments, or at least to let us know, hey, there's a way to get back. And, you know, if we deprive ourselves of proper diet, if we deprive ourselves from, you know, a community of people that share, and I'm talking about, you know, not just being alone and isolating, but a community of people that support us and have gone through like situations. If we deprive ourselves from, you know, the actual physical rest we need, and we teach our clients at the ranch that, you have to take care of yourself in so many different ways, but it really doesn't take much of an effort. You know, you eat a proper diet. You deal with the mood swings as they come about. You engage. You don't isolate, and you get the rest you need. We, you know, most of us would just be amazed at what those simple suggestions can do to help someone along in their recovery, and hold on to that stability and hold on to that serenity. And you know, at the ranch, that's one of the fundamental things we teach our clients. You know, one of the best ways to actually engage recovery is to take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally. And that's really what HALT is talking about when you see that acronym used.
Right. And I am going to, just so the guests know, when we're done going through, I think we have like 6 points we're going to touch on this topic, and then we will drop back. I'll have Matt give you a little bit about his background, and we keep talking about ranch. We'll tell you a little bit more about what the ranch is. DJ posted the website in the chat room earlier. I appreciate that. And so we're just doing things in a little different order tonight. I apologize for that. Like I said, I had my topic going, was blessed to have Matt on very short notice join me. We all appreciate that. On that, the end of that point of routine adds to your self-confidence, and when it talks about not biting off more you can chew, one of the things that the TBI survivors, any of us that are trying to create a new life, one of the freedoms that we get in this new life, you know, a lot of times we tend to look at our new life as some kind of a handicap and a negative, but the other side of that coin is that we can integrate new interests into our new life and new activities into our new life. And it's like they say, when one door closes, another one opens. And so it's through trying those new things and not being the best at or anything like that, but just the act of taking the action and trying that can add to your self-confidence. So whether it's bowling or knitting or underwater basket weaving, don't go one time, get frustrated.
I have never tried underwater basket weaving, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was a class next to contemplating the naval I took in college. You know, it was a long time ago. A lot of miles between here and there, but...
Oh, yeah.
In any case, you know, you try it. When you go to try something, whether it's a support group meeting, whether it's a new hobby, whatever it is, don't go one time and make a judgment and never go back. I always suggest that you try something 3 to 5 times before you make a final decision, because you might be in a different state of mind. The complexion of the group or the activity might be different. And it's really about process and action. If that, you know, after you go 3 times, if you still don't like it, try something new. You know, the world is full of things out there, but every time you take affirmative action by trying something new, it's going to build your confidence. The next point.
Kim, I want to say one thing. I think that's really important what you just said. Those of us whatever issue we're dealing with. We are very judgmental as we're trying to, well, pardon me, we're judgmental up to that point where we actually engage recovery. We're trying to engage, and we see all these other people that seem so happy and seem to be functioning so well with the issues that we're dealing with, and there's some resentment that grows there. But give it a shot. You know, don't make that judgment on that first run through it. Keep giving it a shot. Open your mind, and you too might get that peace that those others have. I think that was really crucial that you tell them, don't just give up on that first run through it.
Oh, no. You know, I'll give an example once in an earlier recovery, not a TBI recovery, but something else. A group of people embraced me, if you will, as a newcomer in a support group, and they wanted me to go and join their sand volleyball league. Well, I'm a real girly girl. I always have a manicure and a pedicure, and I looked at them like they were crazy. And I said, I can't play volleyball. I don't even want to play sand volleyball. I'm not interested. They're like, you're coming with us. You got to have something to do. You know, keep yourself out of trouble and meet some new people. And so they dragged me along. And thank God I was between two really tall guys, and all I had to do was duck. But, you know, and they'd reach over and boom, get the ball over. Well, of course, you know, I'm getting sand in my pedicure and I'm chipping my nail polish and I'm just being a big baby, you know, a sour grape about it. You know, but what happened, if I would have gone by my first impression, I would have gone that first night and I never would have gone back. Because of these people, and that was a gift, you know, that it was these people. Because if it would have been up to me, I never would have come back the first night, you know, after the first night. But because of these people, I did. And by the end of it, I can't tell you that sand volleyball is my favorite sport or that I would run out and do it today. But what I can tell you is that for 6 or 8 weeks, however long it was, I built some wonderful relationships, had some gut-busting laughs, mostly at myself, you know, at myself for my attitude and how terrible I was at this thing and how funny that these guys had the timing down so great that I'd see the ball coming and I could duck on a dime, baby. And
I think that's a good point. I think, you know, we tell our clients, Doranch, it's almost as if, you know, the disease and the issue that they're facing is at war with themselves. And it almost discourages us from doing those things. But take a chance, you know, live life a different way and see what's out there. And you'll be embraced just by those 6'6" volleyball players you were embraced by. There's a different way of life out there, and there are people that feel the same things we feel, that have the same fears that we have. And that's that uniqueness. There are so many people that are facing the same situations that we all are facing. And when you actually step outside your comfort zone, when you actually take that risk, which we, you know, many of us with the issues we're facing, we're prone to take a lot of risks, and we'll do a lot of silly things.
Yeah.
But a risk to do something that's actually healthy and may help us, that seems so foreign. And, you know, when we actually do those things, when we actually step outside our comfort zone and we find those people that are just like us, there is such an empowerment in that group. And it lifts us all up. You know, I'm certain that you, with your manicure and your pedicure, you felt silly out there, but you probably gave something back to that group as well.
Humor.
And you didn't even know it. Absolutely.
A lot of laughs I gave them out there, man.
I have a self-help group, and they laugh at me every night at 8 o'clock. So, you know, that's the thing we do for each other. You know, we provide each other that uplifting feeling. We can laugh at ourselves and we can laugh at each other, and we heal. And that's the most important thing. We start to heal.
And I think that is a good segue to say Brain Injury Radio, you know, it's only been, a couple of months now since it was a 2-year, 1-day-a-week show. We've blossomed into 7 nights a week, 7 different hosts. The network is growing immeasurably. We're all helping each other so much. We're finding the support that so many of us never had in this regard. And that brings us to our next point about routine, and that's routine gives you something to rely on in times of crisis. What I found out is that when I started my program of recovery and started adopting some of the things we talk about on this show, I would stockpile them, go to a lot more support meetings in the beginning, pray a lot more, read some daily meditation books. I would do all of these disciplines a lot more because it's almost like emotional, spiritual, and physical insurance. Not the kind of insurance that pays our medical bills, although indirectly it is, but directly, not that kind of insurance, but a kind of insurance that goes back to lowering that anxiety we talked about, heightening that self-confidence that we talked about. And the more we learn when we're not in crisis, the more we're able to draw on what we've learned at a time of crisis, and we're able to do some loss prevention and maybe not let the situation get as bad as it would have, because we're going to have more arrows in our quiver to draw from.
I think that that's a very good point. You know, I had a group of clients I was working with the other day, you know, one in particular who was about to go home and was faced with just the wreckage of what had happened in her life over the past few years. And, you know, she was feeling so good because she'd engaged in this recovery, and she'd engaged with these self-help mechanisms that we taught her. And, you know, I sat down with her and I said, look, you're going to get home. Life in recovery, regardless of what you're in recovery from or for, is not easy. You know, life is hard. Life is chaotic. We go home to our children. We go home to our families. We go home to our work. We go home a different person from who we were before. Or
right.
Now we have some physical limitations that we weren't ready for. Just because we've engaged in this thing called recovery, it doesn't mean that life's going to change. And so life is going to come at us, and it's going to be chaotic, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be very unsettling. You know, no one promised us, any of us, that once we engage in this idea of recovery, that things are going to be perfect and the sun's going to shine every day and, you know, the angels are going to sing. None of that. That's not realistic. But if
right.
we develop these routines of how to maintain some semblance of serenity when faced with these things that we've created in our home lives and in our other lives, we're able to bring ourselves back. Sometimes it's just a little thing. You know, one of the things I do every day, every morning I wake up, I tell my son I hope he has a great day at school today. I give him a kiss on his forehead and tell him I love him. Okay? That simple thing that I do, it brings me back to who I am and who I want to be. And it may seem so simple, but I have to tell you, when my life was chaotic, I never did those things.
Right.
With some of those things. You know, I have a routine I do every morning with work and with my home and with my wife and child. Those things bring me back to who I am. Even when the world's falling around apart, you know, around us. And it does. The world,
yes.
You know, it's not easy. This life that we all live is not easy. And no one promised us it was going to be. And sometimes going back to those little things that we're taught, those routines that seem so insignificant at times, and some of us can laugh at, it gives us peace. And,
right.
And you know, I think it's something that we really should appreciate is the little things and how routines will reinforce that, because life is chaotic. Life is not always happy. It's just not. It's an unreal expectation.
But something I heard early on in recovery was life's not fair and people don't act right. And I had the
exactly.
hardest time accepting that, because I wanted to run fast enough, jump high enough, manipulate well enough, demand loud enough, you know, anything I could do to buck the system of life's not fair and people don't act right. But, you know, there's so much of it I've just learn to observe and let go instead of dying on that hill. You know, there's...
Oh, well, you know, you're absolutely right. I have to tell you a funny story. Just before I was going to call into the show, I got my son, who was arguing with his mother about homework, and he was in tears. And, the world was going to end. And, Dad, you need to referee this, and you need to fix this, because Mom's saying this, and I think it's this. And it seemed like the world was going to end for him. And, you know, I'm about to call in this radio show to do this interview, and it was just all this chaos. And I just had to sit there and breathe for a second. Tell him I loved him. Work your way through this with your mother, and this is all going to work out. But life comes at us at the strangest times when we're not ready for it, and we need to, you know, center ourselves, you know, think through the situation, and sometimes rely on those little things, those little routines. But if Will's listening tonight, you should be in bed.
Go to bed, Will.
Hello, Will.
We're actually zipping through the show, so there's a couple things I want to do. Number five is routine helps prepare you for more responsibility. And I think just in short, I'll maybe let Matt make one short comment on that. But when you follow your routine, when you get a routine in place, you follow your routine the best you can, then you'll grow from there. To me, having a routine helps give me the strength and courage I need to take actions into other areas. And so, for example, becoming a host on this radio show, that was more responsibility. But there was a time when there was so much chaos in my life. I've been a host on this show for 2 months. For the last month, I have been in chaos city with my routine getting shaken up like it was put in a blender. But I come here every Wednesday night and I host this show no matter what else is going on. And I want to apologize. One of the people in our chat is the Tuesday night host, Les. And I love like making it to Les Paul's show. And last night I sat down on the couch at 6 and I fell asleep and didn't wake up until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thank God it wasn't tonight. I'm sorry to miss you, Les, but I'm glad that the listeners didn't have dead air and I didn't sleep through my own show tonight. So I think as we get these routines in place and we're feeling more comfortable and more confident and we're able to temper our anxiety a little bit, we're able to take on more responsibility or different responsibility than we ever thought we'd be able or capable of doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you gain routine, you practice the routine, you prepare for those situations where it doesn't always go the way it's supposed to go. You start to buy into the concept of recovery from whatever issue you're facing. And as you do that, as you establish that routine, you know, you'd be amazed. And, you know, Kim, you talked about your own personal story. You know, my personal story of what routine and recovery and serenity has done for me. And it has created, like you said, a responsibility. You know, the responsibilities I have towards my patients, the responsibilities I have towards my family now, all of those things, you know, I almost want to call it, I almost don't view it as responsibility as much as they're blessings now.
Right.
They're blessings that I have. The responsibilities I have in life today are blessings, and I cherish each one of them. And, you know, no one's more disappointed if I don't hit one of those expectations in myself. But I have to learn how to temper that. So routine does breed responsibility. But, God, it feels so good when you do what you're supposed to do. You know, for years I didn't. Now to do that, my God, it just really reinforces how special of a thing recovery is.
Absolutely. Number six is routine can lead to increased self-esteem. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this point because one of the things they talk about in this is another tool called EMDR. That's eye movement desensitization reprocessing therapy. And I'm hoping that sometime in the future, because Matt doesn't know it, but the Recovery Now show generally talks about different tools that help us go through recovery. They help bring us progress through our recovery. And I think anytime we have progress, it enhances our self-esteem. But I'd like to have a show dedicated to some tools, one of those being the EMDR, because I've heard a couple
EMDR.
Of people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes. I've heard several of the gals in our a couple of the Facebook support pages querying about this recovery tool and have been planning on having a show on it. So maybe Matt can.
Yes, EMDR, I will just tell you very, very briefly, is a fantastic tool for recovery from trauma issues, whether it be a brain injury trauma or other types of traumas that we face in our lives. And it really helps us put into some kind of perspective what the trauma was, what are the signs that we're going to be triggered from that trauma, because trauma is re-triggered in us every day. So it helps us kind of see the signs coming, and then it teaches us how not to recreate that trauma, because we recreate traumas every day in our lives. And so, again, it identifies the trauma. It teaches you how to prepare for a re-triggering of that trauma. And then it teaches you how not to let that trauma run your life. It's a fantastic tool. And that's very simple. That's a big simplification. But, you know, at the ranch, we use EMDR with over 90% of our patients, and we see just tremendous results.
Great. And again, folks, we will talk more about that in future shows. I do want Matt to be able to tell us a little bit about the various things they do at the ranch, a little bit about his experience in between that. Before we do that, I see that I do have a couple of callers. I'm going to say the last point in this article, folks, is routine can add joy to your life. And I'm just going to read a brief. When you feel good about your contributions in your daily life, this leads to an overall sense of accomplishment, deserved pride, and a sense of well-being. For those of us in recovery, routine can help by boosting our supply of self-confidence, self-esteem, increasing our stability, allaying our anxieties, providing a support in times of crisis, and ultimately adding joy to our lives. So this is a great article. Again, DJ posted it in the chat, but for you live callers, I'm going to tell you to check out recoveryranch.com. That's RECOVERYRANCH, recoveryranch.com. And there at Recovery Ranch, they have a variety of women's programs, men's programs. I know a lot of you are into horses and animals. They have an equine therapy program there. They do both sex and love addiction, alcohol abuse, drug addiction. And one of the things we talk a lot about around here is trauma and post-traumatic stress treatments. But Matt, why don't you, and then we'll take just a couple of callers to wind down the show, but briefly, if you want to just tell us a little bit more about the ranch, how people, I've said the website, they can certainly look that up. I'm also going to say that the phone number, which you'll find on the website, but the telephone number, and I'll put that while Matt's talking in the chat room, but it's 1-866-574-8207. Again, all of our programs are done live, but they are available in the archive, so you can listen to these programs at your leisure by using this same link. If you have any questions about any of this for me, about the radio show, you can go to my website, inaflash.org. There's a tab that says Contact the Author, and that will send an email directly to me. I'll be happy to help you out with my end of it, or of course you can contact the ranch directly. But Matt, if you want to just give us a little bit of back story, just a little bit, maybe how long you've been there, about you, just a little bit more about the ranch, then I do have a couple people on hold that'll ask questions.
Great.
And we'll close out the show.
That's fantastic, Kim. Thank you. You know, I've mentioned the ranch so many times, and the ranch is a very special place in the hills of Middle Tennessee, just outside Nashville. We treat so many issues there, and we do it in an experiential way. We treat drug addiction, chemical dependency, mental health issues, emotional health issues, eating disorders in our women's population, relationships, sex and love relationship issues for those clients that have severe codependence, for those clients that need a relationship in their life to give them affirmation and make themselves feel whole. We treat serious mental health issues, schizophrenia, bipolar, all of the mood disorders. So we're a very broad, it's really just a healing center out in the hills of Tennessee. And we've been around for many years now, and we've been growing for the past 5 years exponentially. We treat those issues with a variety of modalities. You mentioned EMDR. The ranch prides itself on its trauma program, where we treat those clients with different modalities like EMDR or brain spotting, which is very similar to EMDR. We also have equine therapy, which is really a fundamental tool for clients that suffer from a variety of issues, whether it is substance abuse, whether it is mental health, whether it is a client that has trauma only with no substance abuse component or mental health component, they've suffered a significant injury. To actually go out in the ranch, in the Piney River, with all the honeysuckles, all and to work with the horses, and to actually do equine therapy with your own therapist, and to learn about communication techniques with others through working with horses, is just a fantastic modality, and it breeds healing. You know, that's what the ranch is. It's a healing center for so many issues that we all face in our daily lives. Stress, again, trauma, substance abuse, mental health, sex addiction, eating disorder. And it's a 3,000 acre, it's actually a live working cattle ranch and horse ranch. And, you know, we stay true to the land and the river and the horses, and it's a beautiful place. And it's a wonderful healing center, and I've been proud to work there. You know, I talked to you, Kim, off the air. I was an attorney for many years. I myself entered into my own recovery, and you know, I managed through just my own fortune to discover this place called the Ranch in Middle Tennessee. Had no idea that I was going to be called there, and you know, I've been there for several years now. And watching the healing that takes place at the ranch has changed my life and what recovery means to me. And it's opened my mind to so many new modalities of therapy. You know, we think therapy, we think recovery, we think of, you know, the old movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and, you know, and seeing Jack Nicholson in a hospital. It's not the case anymore. There are facilities all over the country, and the ranch is one of them that pride itself on healing the person, healing them of the issues they face, and then looking at those core issues and what those core issues are and how do you address those. And that's what we do. And then we focus on, of course, the mind, the body, you know, all those components. How do we make all of those healthy to embrace life again? That's what recovery is about, embracing life again.
Exactly right. And I encourage you all to look at their website. The pictures were beautiful, captivating. The program looks magnificent. A lot of you on the line have been very patient. We have about 10 minutes left, so if you could hold your questions down on point, that would be really wonderful. And I will, we'll just take the last few minutes and see. Let's see who waited the longest. I think area code 941. Who do we have?
Hey, Kim. It's DJ.
I know. Hi, DJ.
Hello and hello, Matt. I'm on your site, and I've got to say, I spent 44 months in assisted living after my brain injury, 16 days in a Glasgow 5 coma, head injury, and I will keep it short, but 30 days in a HealthSouth, 10 months at the Center for Comprehensive Services. I had to learn everything myself. These
yep.
people called me at 5:30 in the morning. They called me at 8. They called me at 10, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But they missed appointments. They didn't get me to doctors. They didn't get medical records to doctor's appointments. I see on your site, as I'm looking, your bio is just staggering. I mean, you've been there. I always say, how can people in brain injury that don't have a brain injury train people that do have a brain injury? Well, it looks like you've kind of done the whole gauntlet. You've been a lawyer. It looks like you've done some personal recovery. And I would just like to have you talk about how you build the treatment plan. And from your side, how do you sit in a room with, like a treatment team room, and even sometimes probably disagree with the way people are being treated and say, wait a minute, that's not what we're here for. And one more thing, how do you deal with the insurance company?
Well, wow, that's a real loaded
question. That's a great
question.
That's a loaded question. What I'll tell you, DJ, is that, you know, my personal story, as you mentioned, as you saw on the website, I went through many, many trials and tribulations. But somehow I managed, with the help of so many people, to get to where I am now, and I'm grateful for it. It is difficult to sit in a treatment room and to listen to, you know, the differing opinions, especially because, remember, DJ, you're a human being. Every client we're working with is a human being that is special and unique and a gift from God. And how do we, how do we deal with the varying opinions and what to do with them? I'm very proud of the clinicians, the medical team, the psychiatric team, the administrative team to which I'm part of at the ranch, and that we do treat each person uniquely. It's individual care. There's no cookie cutter for what we all face. DJ, your issues are not the same as Kim's, nor are they the same as mine. At the ranch, we're very careful to look at DJ and work on DJ and how to help DJ. The last question you asked was about insurance. You know, we've been fighting the battle with insurance companies for a long time. And we have an excellent department at the ranch that works collaboratively with the insurance companies, and we get good results from the insurance company. When I was a lawyer, I worked and often struggled with insurance companies. But what we've tried to do is to work collaboratively with them. We get good results. The ranch does take insurance. And, we have fights, yeah, because sometimes insurance companies will say there's no medical necessity for that care. And then we have to fight that fight. But we do that. The patient doesn't do that. The client doesn't do that. DJ would never know that we're in the midst of that fight. What I want you focused on, what I want our clients focused on, is getting better. We take on that burden because they should not have to.
Okay,
wow.
DJ. Thanks for your question. DJ, I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
And hopefully, well, thank you, DJ, for your question. Matt, would you happen to have like another 5 minutes to spend with us?
I can go on an extra 5 minutes. If you haven't heard, I like to talk. So, you know, I'm an ex-lawyer. I'll talk all night. It's your show.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Well, what we have here is something that's called overtime that we can use. But what happens...
Let's go to overtime, Kim.
We will. But what I have to do is end the show because in my usual way, and everybody who's logged in, just stay on. For all of you live listeners that are going to be dropping off, thank you so much for being here. at our show tonight. Matt and I both appreciate it. We want to thank our sponsor, TBILaw.com. I'm here every Wednesday. Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week with a different host. I'm going to close the show in the usual way for me with something that I believe that we all have, and that's Guardian Angel by Leah West. We'll be back in 51 seconds on the other end of the hour. Good night to the live listeners, and here's Guardian Angel.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, you won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you.
That was a portion of Guardian Angel by Leah West. I encourage you to check her out, leahwest.com. She is an emerging artist, quickly rising up the charts, and she's been kind enough to let me play her music on our show and also be the video trailer for my book. So we like Leah. Okay, welcome to the overtime part of the hour. This is still recorded in the archives, but our live listeners have left us. So I will go on down the line to somebody who has been kind enough to wait with their hand up for 48 minutes, and that would be area code 484. Who do we have with us?
Hey, Kim, it's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. How are you tonight?
I am doing terrific. I wanted to say that you and your guest, Matt, who is fantastic, absolutely wonderful, hit absolutely something that was so close to my heart that I totally relate, and I wanted to express a few things about him.
About Matt?
Well, about what you were talking about.
I hope you don't express anything about me.
Okay, Jennifer, you can see you have a couple clowns on the line here. Go ahead. Go ahead with your questions, Jenny. Thanks for calling in.
That's okay. You know I'm a big old clown, too.
I know it.
Now, is routine takes us out of anxiety, because routine, even if it's something we don't want to do, and it's part of our daily get up and get ready, if we do it over and over, no matter how hard it is, it becomes easier each time, and it becomes a memory. And after that, it becomes a habit, which makes us feel safe and calm in our new world and gives us a sense of accomplishment. But when we get into the anxiety, what I find that works for me is, no matter what's going on around me, if I know that I have things that I need to do, I take the time and go and sit by myself where it's quiet, and I write a list of what I want to accomplish. And then it doesn't matter if I have to go back to that list a million times for each time I have to get something done, but I stick to it, and I check off one thing at a time. And when I check off each one, just one, even if that's the only thing I get done that day, the feeling of accomplishment is so uplifting. It is just, it reduces the anxiety. And you get from that level 10 back down to that level 1 if you pass through and face it. If you run from it, you never reduce the anxiety.
You're absolutely right, Jenny, and I'm proud of you.
Me too. That's excellent. When you have a list like that and you can actually physically see the checks and the things that you've accomplished rather than just the things you've thought about, stewed about, and never really gotten done, that is definitely something that gives you a sense of accomplishment, even if it's making the bed, you know, getting up and making the bed. There's a lot of people that I know in different contexts, whether it's recovery from a TBI or a different major medical condition or an addictive disorder, sexual abuse, the way they'll choose to cope is by staying in, drawing the shades, pulling the covers over their head, and you know, they don't make that list. They're just on that little hamster wheel in their brain, and they're just kind of shutting themselves off from life and isolating. And, you know, to actually take that action to write that list, you know, to focus, to write the list, to systematically put checks, you know, put your checks on the list as you accomplish things, that is a wonderful tool.
Carrie, I'm proud of you. You keep it up. I think your routine is fantastic, and it sounds like you've taken it to heart. You're in recovery.
I absolutely did, because it was the only way I knew how to figure out how to deal with my daily routine, because with my TBI, memory is the hardest thing. 5 minutes later, I've forgotten what I said 5 minutes before. So I can't lie, because I'll tell on myself, so what's the point? You know?
That's right. That's right.
I realize that it doesn't matter how long it takes for me to check off what I've written down. If it takes me a week or a month, once I actually get to the point where I'm at the bottom of that page and I can check it off, I get to tear it off and shred it.
Isn't that a relief once you're able to check one of those things off? Doesn't it just feel good?
It is like a ticker tape parade.
Yeah, burning the list. I was going to say, getting to the end and shredding that list is the biggest joy of all. You did it.
Yep.
Well, Jenny, thanks for calling in. And I will, after we let Matt go, for any of those that want to stay, he was at an engagement tonight, bless his heart, when his office was able to get a hold of him, and he was kind enough driving between home and his engagement to stop and do our show. So I'm not going to keep him all night. We do have one other caller. There is someone else, area code 803. You do not have your hand up, so I'm not going to unmute your mic unless you press 1 and let me know that you do have a question. But we do actually have someone with their hand up, also been holding a very long time. Area code 585. Who do we have with us?
Fantastic Frank.
Hi, Frank. Are you fantastic tonight?
Fantastic. Every time I get on the show and hear your voice, you know you have a beautiful voice.
Oh, you're precious. Do you have a question for Matt?
Yes, Matt. Now, tomorrow night, I do my own blog talk radio show, and I want to talk about, this is the second of three or four parts, the unspoken topics of TBI clients. The first one was money. The second one tomorrow night is sex. The third one next week is going to be about politics. There might be a fourth one about religion. I've got no guests to come on my show. Do you want to do it with me tomorrow night?
Frank, don't ask people on my show if they want to be a guest on your show. Contact me in between. I just
Frank,
found
I might be an expert on three or four of those things. I'm not going to tell you which ones, though.
Okay, thanks.
Frank, I will exchange an email between it, but you wouldn't believe tonight, Frank, how I got a hold. Matt and I don't know each other. I just connected with him a couple of hours ago.
It was beautiful what you did. I'm sorry if I'm breaking some rule, but I want your guest to be on my show, but he's great, and I've got to be able to push. I think I've been to his recovery website. I think I heard about that from somebody else. It had to be either Dr. Joe Vitale or Tony Robbins or some person like that. Do you know any of those people, Matt?
He's probably read them all.
I have. I've actually read many of those people.
Okay, well, I think I've been at some events where you talked about that. I have no idea, but I think I've heard about your website. I think I've been on there a few times, and you sound
Frank, like a fantastic guy. Frank, go to the website. You can click on my bio, and my email is there. I'll be happy to have a discussion with you and talk to you and see if I can help you, and maybe you can help me. So please do that. Click on that. We'll strike up a conversation off the air. And thank you for listening tonight. I appreciate you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Frank, for calling in. And that would answer Les Paul's question earlier in the chat room. And he had someone who is having a struggle, and I wasn't able to keep both eyes on the chat, on the notes, talk to you, and make sure our switchboard didn't go down. So, Les Paul, if you didn't hear what he just said on the website, he does have an email address. And so in answer to your question, yes, apparently this man can be gotten a hold of in a way different than the way I went about it.
No, and they can call the 800 number as well on the website, and the people that work for our call center will be happy to let me know that someone's reaching out, and I'll return every single call and every email. Just call that 800 number or email me. You know, that's part of the routine that's helped save my life. And
yes,
I mean
exactly.
Please feel free to call, email, whatever.
And I will, we did put it in the chat, mention it while we were on air, but again, that's recoveryranch.com. The number is 1-866-574-8207. They also have a really cool feature that is an online live chat. And I spoke to a very nice lady named Rebecca earlier on there.
Fantastic.
And yes, and Rebecca was definitely fantastic. And she and I talked about having a couple other guests from your place on in the future, Matt. But I know that you're... Yes, I really, really appreciate it. Like I said, I totally believe that, you know, nothing happens by mistake. It was funny. My life has been doing what it's been doing because I am very religious to my routine. I mentioned to you when we were off air how long I've been at having a routine. And so this has been a rather lengthy time period the last month where I've really kind of gotten thrown off my stride. I thought of the topic within a couple of hours. You appeared and were available, and those kind of things just don't happen unless they're meant to be. So I want to thank
Kim,
you.
You're welcome. It was really my pleasure. I love to do this, and I really value what you do and what anyone does that gets the word out about how to get into recovery. You know, I appreciate you, your show, and your listeners. And anytime you need me, you can give me a call.
I certainly will. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Matt. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, for the rest of my listeners, I'm going to start opening up your mics. 484 you're on, 941 you're on, 803 you're on, and 585 you're on. Those are the people we have on the board, in addition to a couple unknown guests, I guess. But thank you all for being here listening to the show tonight. I'll have you give me any comments you want, and then some of you will laugh who've been following my shows. Especially Les Paul. Thank you, DJ. Oh, DJ, doggone it. I want to remember that sound effect. Thank you for doing that. Anyways, before I lose my train of thought, Les Paul and some of you that were here when I was talking about the contractor come in to do the bathroom, the one that I haven't strangled yet, I told you that he was a former musician and he was going to bring me his CD.
Yeah.
And I'd have to check it out. So before we get off the air tonight, I do happen to have some songs now on the switchboard by my bathroom contractor.
That's funny.
And we're going to, I'm going to play at least one of them tonight so you guys can see, and then later I'll compare the finished product of my bathroom with the band musical talent.
Could one of them be Handyman by James Taylor?
No, but that is so good. I'm going to tell him that tomorrow. The name of this band is actually, what is the name of the band? HTB, the Hard Times Band is the name of this. So I'll let you guys that are online make some comments. And then before we get off the air tonight, I will play you a song by our local band. What did I say? The Hard Times Band, who was kind enough to give me a CD and allow us to use some of their music on our show. They own the rights to it. They've written the rights to it. They're from Omaha. They live in Omaha. They're recorded in Omaha, so they're legal. Anyone got anything to say? Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you for having an awesome show tonight.
It was great. Thank you, Kim.
There's a person. Kim, I just wanted to tell you this quickly. I listened so closely that I forgot to raise my hand, and there's a person I desperately need to help with, get help with from these people, urgent help. So that's what I was talking about in the message room.
That, yeah, and I caught that. And, Frank, what he told you was that – I just want to clarify that because he basically gave Frank his contact information, and that's what I was trying to tell you before in the chat room, that I didn't think I could hook you up to talk to him after the show because he's in his car going down the interstate between some work event he had to be at tonight and trying to get home, and I'll tell you the funny story of how I got connected with him. But you can contact... If you go to the website of...
I got his phone number. I'm going to see if he calls me because I really need to have a guest on tomorrow night, and he sounds like he could be great to talk about sex.
And his website is recoveryranch.com.
I'm on this website right now. I can't make a legend.
Les Paul, if you were to look up recoveryranch.com.
And I've got, you put the link on there. I saw, or somebody did.
He did.
I can do it again. It's hang on, I'm not typing. It's recoveryranch.com. I just typed it into there. I'm going to give the phone numbers on there, but I'm going to go ahead because you got me typing now and I have my eyes on the page. I'm going to type in the phone number too.
Okay.
And you can just leave a message for him or contact me tomorrow. The other thing you can do is that number's kind of split up, Les Paul, but it's, can you tell, it's 1-866-574-8207 is on the next line.
Oh,
and thank you, DJ. And then Recovery Ranch, and you can just leave a message. The other thing they have that's kind of cool is they've got, and I think it might be 24 hours, but it's a live chat. It's over.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I'm going to call it.
Yes. Well, what you do, it's kind of like with, I don't know if you've ever dealt with, like, I don't liken them to this, but like Walmart or whatever. There is a phone number you can call, but they also have a live chat where you do kind of like what we're doing in the chat room. You type.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably leave a message there. You can say that you were on the radio show tonight, and you can also get a message to them via that. That was how I first started talking. This material tonight, what had happened is because of what I told you guys, I was contemplating about how my life's been going the last couple of weeks. I was contemplating what my topic would be because I haven't really had the time to to do as much preparation and as I'd like because I've been so tied up with all these weird things. And so I was thinking about it, and I thought, routine, that's what I've been missing. You know, my routine has gotten turned upside down, and it's causing me some grief. So I think I'll talk about that tonight. And I had plenty to talk about as far as routine goes, but I went ahead and Googled it because I wanted to get some support material, you know, to come on the show with. And one of the first entries was this place. And it pulled up an article that's on their website, and the article is called How Routine Helps in Recovery. And what I had planned to do tonight was just to read this 4 pages when you print it. I was going to read these items like I did with him, but I was just going to read them on our radio show, and then we were going to discuss them. Well, I was going to fully credit them and all of that business and give their website and do everything. But then I saw that live chat thing, and I opened up the live chat, and it was after work hours anywhere in the country. And I thought it was just going to be at like a service or something, you know, and I fully did not expect. I mean, it was a shot in the dark. I typed in there, and all I said was, the gal said, I'm so-and-so, may I help you? And all I said was, I don't suppose you have access to anyone of authority around there who might like to be on a radio show tonight to plug Recovery Ranch. And the gal paused. You know, she just paused for a few minutes, and she came back and she said, who are you and what radio show? And I typed in Recovery Now, go figure. And the gal types back, ha, ha, ha. And she says, let me see if I can connect with one of the directors and see if I can find somebody to help you. And then she came back a couple minutes later and she said, somebody will be calling you of authority sometime in the next 30 minutes. And that was like an hour before we came on the show. And that was the only reason Frank didn't want you doing that on air is I kind of blindsided this guy. So for all of us to leap on him, you know, at the same time, he did us a favor by showing up under the circumstances that he showed up today.
He hit 4 or 5 home runs with him.
Yeah. And I got no problem with anybody using him for the show. But, I mean, I kind of caught him at the last minute tonight. I'm not sure you're going to be able to get him to go on tomorrow.
I'm going to have him on either my afternoon show or a future show. He's great.
Well, that's what I was saying, was like a future. I talked to them because I apologized. You know, when I did this, I apologized. I said, I understand this is short, really short notice, and I appreciate you accommodating me. Believe me, we don't make it a habit of doing this kind of thing. I said, a few of us, you know, do discussion shows, and some of us do interview shows, and some do a combination. Normally, we're more organized than I am tonight. We actually plan, you know, our interview, people we're going to interview, give them notice, and go through things. And so I was really backstepping because of his kindness tonight, you know, by saying that we normally prepare. And I did talk to him about that. I said, you know, I would like to talk to somebody in your trauma program who works with this EMDR, because I've seen some gals in the aneurysm room taking it. And I said, but believe me, I'll give you plenty of warning for that. And, you know, we'll actually talk about it ahead of time and you know, whoever he would refer to me, you know, as far as being a guest. But he did do a big favor tonight by even calling me back at all, you know. And so I just didn't want to seem like a pest to him, that's all.
I realized I was overstepping my bounds by asking him if he wanted to be on my show tomorrow night. But he's a great guest. I'm honored and blessed that you found him first, though, because you did a great job.
Thank you.
Now, tonight I was at a TBI meeting here in Rochester. We had a girl. She had a traumatic brain injury 3 years ago, and her name is Nicole. I don't know if she was on the show or not. I tried to encourage her to get on the show. She is having challenges in getting over this, having a TBI. I said to her, hey, it takes time. The best thing you can do is go to TBINetwork.com or find a person in town like me who could possibly mentor you or something like that. But she is a beautiful soul. I want to help her. And I don't know if she was listening on the show. She could might listen on the show, and she does. I hope that there was three guests on our show tonight. Was there? Could you see where they called in from? Was anybody else calling from 585?
No, there was only one 585. We had some guests, I think, from their office that were listening tonight.
Kim?
Yes?
I told her because she had to hear what he said tonight. If I get her email address, I'm going to cut this show and send it to her. You did a beautiful job tonight, Kim. Thank you.
Yes, and like I said, certainly off air, I'm not like coveting guests or anything. I think, you know, certainly off air, we can talk about these things and exchange information and do all that. It's just catching somebody on the spot like that. What are they supposed to say, you know, on air? Well, gee, I'm not on demand every single night. I'm the director of a treatment center. You know, I mean, it's just kind of awkward, that's all. But that's cool. That's fine. I think I'm as surprised as you guys. I think he was a wonderful guest. He might have been, since I didn't know this guy from a bottle of Vicks, I didn't know what to expect. I knew the topic. I knew that the article they wrote was right on line with my thinking about the topic I had in mind, and the fact that I was able to get this guy at the last minute and he was as good as he was just wonderful. And other than that, yeah, everything is open to anyone. I don't want to put our guests, even though we are giving them some advertising, put them in a bad spot. You know what I mean?
Well, and where are they located? Very important.
He said Tennessee.
Very important I need to say.
Les, please. Tennessee, Frank.
Because I think I've been to the website before. I think that I've been either referred to him or drawn to his website. I've heard about this website before. I can't remember. It could be Tony Robbins. It could be a person I met at a Tony Robbins event. It could be a Dr. Joe Vitale. I have no idea, but I know I've seen this website before. I can't remember who got me to see this website, but I know I've seen this before.
Okay, Les Paul has had his hand up, and Les, what did you have to say?
I'm really sorry for interrupting, but if you knew why, I think you would understand. For the past several weeks, I've been dealing with a consumer at Walton Options. I'm not allowed to discuss them at all, what's going on, but everything you talked about was what this person is going through, and they're in a desperate situation to the point where I'm afraid for their life. And when you came on with him, I actually was thinking, what can I do to help this guy? Nothing seems to be working. I mean, no matter what I tried. And then you came on with him, and I'm going to refer him to this place tomorrow that you've been talking about. Because, I mean, I want to tell you a little bit, but I can't say too much of it. He's a wounded warrior. He's a alcoholic. Drugs, everything you can possibly think of. He's been injured. He's been attacked by people. He's in the worst living conditions that someone could ever imagine. And it keeps happening over and over and over again. I mean, today at my job, it was all I could do to take just to think about what this person is going through. I couldn't imagine a human going through this kind of thing. And when you had him as your guest, that's why I was wanting to find out more about him.
Well, I think a couple things. You know, first of all, the person in that situation needs to want to get help.
That's true.
You can try until you're blue in the face. You can give them Yeah, you can give them the website. You can do a lot of different things, but, you know, you can lead the horse to water, but it's up to the horse to drink. And but I think you're right. God works in mysterious ways. You had this person, and it's interesting because right on their site it says that they treat alcohol and drug use, trauma treatment, and PTSD, relationship problems. So this is really an all-purpose.
It's almost all of them.
Yes, exactly. It's a bingo. It's a recovery bingo at this joint. And it happens to be located, in case you didn't catch that, Frank, DJ was kind enough to type in Nunnally, Tennessee, and the guest himself said that they were in the mountains of Tennessee, and I saw photographs on the website. It looks like a really lovely area, but yes, in answer to your concern, Les Paul, it looks like this place is equipped to handle a full spectrum of recovery that your person is in need of, and because they do telephone, they have that live chat. It's almost like a crisis line thing. You know, he could either type in or call in to that 24-hour number if he wanted to stick a toe in before he actually made a commitment to making the phone call. Because the other thing that they do is a full line of assessments. Now, it's been my experience that when a person gets to the point where they need an assessment, that chances are they need the service.
Exactly.
You know?
He needs the assessment. He needs the service very badly.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of funny because there's a lot of people, you know, that will take, like, the alcohol assessment. And the funny thing is I call it the test that no one fails or the test that no one passes, because if you've gotten to the point where you're taking that assessment, chances are, you know, you got that problem or you wouldn't be in a position where you were taking an alcohol assessment, you know, same with anything, mental health, addiction. And one thing I liked about this place when I was reading about it is, you know, for those of you, and I know DJ knows, but the show of my own that I did all summer before Craig was kind enough to ask me to come and host over here, it was a interview show like what Frank does, and that one was called In a Flash Recovery Now, and the way that I opened my pre-recorded message on that show used to say something to the effect, whether it's from a grave medical condition, an addiction disorder, an abuse situation, or the loss of a loved one, there's a common thread that is woven through all of those things. One of them is the stages of grief, and the other is letting go of the old me and learning to accept and embrace the new me. And that pre-recorded message was on every single show all summer long. And when Craig got a hold of me to be on this show, I said, well, how much would I have to change the show I'm doing? Because I feel very strongly about it because I think there's a lot of overlap. You know, there's very few people that just have one thing. And there's a lot of people that there's a lot of crossover. You know, maybe their TBI came out of, you know, they were drinking and using drugs and got in some kind of accident, or on the inverse, maybe somebody with a TBI is self-medicating, you know, with alcohol or pain pills or something like that. There's some people that have been abused, whether it's domestic abuse like Gina last week or, you know, sexual abuse, those types of things. And while we all, like he said, you know, DJ's got his story, Kim's got her story, you know, we all have our own individual story with individual differences, the process of our recovery and the tools we use are a lot the same, you know, regardless of the source of our brain injury, whether it was a blow to the head on a bridge or a ruptured aneurysm or whatever it was, or whether it's PTSD, one of our veterans coming back, with or without a TBI. So I think these places are really important, and a comprehensive place like this that doesn't just target shoot addictions or, you know, or sex or whatever, but they do, they take the whole person and all of the manifestations of recovery that might be needed and deal with it in one place. I think that's a really good thing. Now, I haven't personally been a patient there at that particular place, so all I can say is that they were very responsive. It looks like they've got an extremely comprehensive program, and I think that it'll be a great resource, Les Paul, that you can pull out and float past this person, and I hope and pray that it works for them.
Now, I have to make one comment about this. I'm on their website where it says rates and admissions. They don't give you any rates. They say your insurance company, you have to deal with your insurance company, which makes me think that this could be, because most places will say it's $100 a day or $500 a day or something like that, but you might have medical coverage without having any idea how much money it's going to cost a person. I'm kind of not, I wouldn't be going to them. You have to submit a request to find out how much money it's going to be. I know it's going to have to cost you money, plus you have to fly down to Tennessee unless you live near there. I'm kind of disappointed they don't say up front what the costs are going to be.
Well, I can give you one reason why they might not, and that's because I'm not sure that one price fits all. It probably depends on what treatment plan you're going to be in. I mean, if you and I don't know this for sure, but what I'm saying is, based on what we have around my area, okay, if a person goes in for outpatient...
Wait. It says the cost of treatment at the ranch is based on each client's individualized needs and treatment plan.
Right.
Please call admission director for current rates. The current rates, they should say what they are, based on they have addictive disorders, eating disorders, love and sex addiction, trauma, and PTSD. There's only five or six of them. They should say what the rates are per day or something like that to give a person an idea, because I have the idea that most people who have Medicare or don't have kind of insurance I've got, the government has to pay for most of it, and the government isn't going to want to pay for it.
They may or may not, but it also, I think, really does depend on what they said, and that's that it depends on the program of recovery that's going to be worked out. I mean, like, take a generic garden variety alcoholic. That person goes in, and their treatment might be a little different than somebody who has PTSD and alcohol and a mental illness to boot. They happen to be a bipolar with post-traumatic stress who's an alcoholic. That person's treatment program is going to require a lot more, and it's going to cost a lot more than somebody who walks in with one thing. And, you know, what they all have to do, and I do have some experience with this, is the first thing, whether the place is in Tennessee or it's in your hometown, is a person's going to go in and they're going to get an assessment. And the assessment is going to help the counselor dictate what program of treatment they would recommend for the person. And it, you know, they can't until they get the assessment. Like, there's so many things going on. Like a patient might go in and say, I think I'm drinking a little too much. I want to talk to you about that. They go in and they start to get an alcohol assessment. And in the course of the interview, the counselor finds out, because of some history that this person's giving and some things that they do or say, that that person appears to have PTSD and they don't even know it. And so, you know, they're walking in, the patient's walking in for one thing, and the counselor is picking up on the fact that the person has some things that they don't even realize they have yet. and that treatment plan might be more comprehensive. So I do think it would be very hard to give one set price. I think what a person needs to do if they're interested is make the phone call and do the assessment, and then they'll be quoted a price. Nobody's going to walk into one of these places blind without knowing how much it is, or at least they shouldn't, whether it's a car dealer or, you know, or a hospital.
It's all...
Or a treatment plan or a dress shop. I don't think you just walk in and put down your credit card without having an idea of the price. But I, you know, I think it does depend a lot on what services you're going to need.
Well,
some people need more than others.
I have a suggestion.
Okay,
yes.
What?
And I think this is for anybody who is no longer able to see on the chat. But is hearing this and is getting scared because of talk about fees and costs. If you call the 1-866-574-8207, they can at least give you how to get to the chat area. So that part has got to be free. It's support.
Yes, that is
free.
And you can ask them from there what you want to do and decide for yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion, Jennifer, because that's the other thing, exactly what you just said. Plus, if you call in or do that live chat and you say, how much are your services? I think they're going to come back and say that depends on what services you need. We'll put you in touch with an assessment counselor. And they would talk to you a little bit about it and tell you what the rules are. I think they just aren't going to put the price on there. You know, what if they put $10,000? Somebody might get scared and run off from that, not realizing their insurance might pay for all or part of it. I can see why they wouldn't put prices. First of all, they're not going to know exactly what treatment plan. He said right on the air that each treatment plan depends on the person. But DJ, not exactly. He said that they individually make a treatment plan for you. They individually make a treatment plan for me, that they assess each person that comes in and that one size doesn't fit all. He said that right on the show. So to put one price on there wouldn't be consistent with what he said.
Okay, let me tell you something happened to me recently. I'm currently seeing a chiropractor. I went in for a free assessment. The total visits were 84 visits plus 44 other visits. He wanted $7,000 to $8,000. My insurance is going to pay $4,400. He wanted a check for $2,880. I was shocked. I just had the money. I paid that. I'm just saying, this is the kind of shock that people are going to have when they go through these things. It's going to be $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000. Their company is going to pay maybe $5,000 or $10,000. They are going to be shocked by the prices.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you there either, but I wouldn't discourage people. I'm with Jennifer as far as, you know, we are on air. I mean, as far as people just calling to check, because you never know. You know, here in Omaha, we have some high-ticket treatment centers. If you can't afford that, we also have, at the homeless shelter, we have a treatment center. There's outpatient, there's inpatient, there's high-ticket, there's low-rent, there's Medicaid, there's Medicare. You know, there's a shoe that fits everybody. This may or may not be the place for everyone, but it's worth the phone call to see.
Yes,
I would.
When the doctor said I had to have a year's worth of treatment, and if I said I couldn't afford that, he'd say, well, we could do a half year, so we could cut this in third, knock this down in third, to which I makes me think that perhaps he's overdoing this. You know what I'm trying to say? Maximum amount to pocket to cover what the hell is going to happen. But it's like when you go in and buy a new car. The car deals,
You dick around with those people back and forth till you finally get a price, and then you walk out there, you think you still got the best price, and you didn't do it.
Well, you know, I will say in deference to what you're saying, Frank, that's true, is, and I won't pick on this place, I'm going to say healthcare in general. Healthcare in general, okay, is that people who have insurance are going to get billed at a higher rate because the insurance will pay for it. And that's just the way most of the healthcare places are out there. It's one of the reasons why our healthcare system is as screwed up as it is overbilling. You know, my Nana had a little tiny mole removed several years ago off of her eyebrow. It was a 2-minute dermatological thing where they used that stuff that just zaps it off. They billed Medicare for what they called reconstructive surgery.
My goodness. Wow.
This is something that took 2 shakes to do with that stuff that's like hairspray, you know, it freezes it off real quick. Took 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, if you would have been somebody who didn't have any money and you would have gone in, you might have paid a couple $100 to have a mole zapped off your eyebrow. But because you had Medicare, suddenly it's reconstructive surgery and they're billing it out at $9,000. So, yes, there's always some fluctuation in the price, whether or not you have insurance, what type of insurance, whether they even want to deal with you, probably. There's a lot of things that go into billing. And, yes, that's probably another reason why they didn't put it down there. You know, there might be somebody who doesn't have insurance, and 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't take somebody without insurance or money. But maybe a particular case will appeal to them, and they've got enough overpayment from the people with good insurance that they can let somebody slide in. Now, I'm not picking on this place. I don't know anything about that and this place. But I did work in selling health insurance as part of being a financial consultant for 25 years. So I know how the cow eats the cabbage out in the doctor's office.
Yes.
So, that being said, I would say make the calls, you know. Make the calls.
Yeah.
Find out, never sign on the dotted line until you know exactly what it's going to cost, what's going to be paid by insurance, what you might be on the hook for. And if you're going to be on the hook for a certain amount, see if they're any place. See if they're amenable to a payment plan. And if that's a payment plan then you can that you can afford. But by all means, always take the call, take the time, you know, to call and ask. If you need help, you've got to ask.
Thank
yes,
you,
Jennifer.
Kim.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm sorry. I kept wanting to interrupt, but I wanted to help because what I realized is a lot of what you and Matt were talking about tonight and this place and any kind of recovery place, people with addiction, depression, or anything else, PTSD or TBI, we have to be, a lot of us are scared to actually go someplace and check ourselves in. So sometimes we just need to reach out until we figure out whether we feel safe in it. So calling that 866-574-8207 gives people a chance to find out how to get online, and they can make the decision to where they actually get to a point where they feel safe going.
Right.
Actually getting up and going is disrupting to our lives. And it's very
so
scary.
It might be that there's a place in your town rather than across the country. But you're right, Jenny, you're absolutely right, because one thing I don't know, for example, is if they have both inpatient and outpatient. That's one thing, you know, there some people are afraid to be checked in. Inpatient treatment is also a lot more expensive, and so sometimes people go to outpatient programs because they cost less and they don't have the fear of having to actually be confined somewhere. for a period of time away from home. Some people need that. It's good to be taken out of their environment. If their environment is toxic, you know, they can focus on recovery only in inpatient without distraction. But in other cases, again, the same shoe doesn't fit everybody, and outpatient might be a better way to go, or just making the phone call, like you said, and getting assured by the professionals about what to expect. I think fear of the unknown drives us a lot of the time, and the only way it gets known is by you asking the question. So that's a very good point.
Absolutely, because I was an addict. I also was severely depressed and suicidal before I had my injury. And the idea of being checked in or going anyplace, nobody could make me. It had to be something I chose to do, because they won't even let you come in unless it's your choice. And without having a resource where you can go anywhere in your local community, whether it's YMCA, they will contact you with a local support group or some kind of an outpatient, just a meeting with other people that are going through the same things, whether it's sex addiction, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's depression, whether it's vets, or anybody who's been through any kind of abuse or PTSD, they will link you. It is local and it is free.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I will clarify that too. DJ brought up a question about a lot of that some places don't have furnished outpatient apartments. And the outpatient treatment I was talking about is more like you go there every day like you'd go to work or school. They're not necessarily resident outpatient treatment. Usually if living there is involved, at least in this context, it's usually inpatient. Outpatient is normally like going to school or going to work. You don't usually live there. In the recovery context of love, sex, drugs, alcohol, you know, PTSD. Like I know, for all I know, their whole deal might be an inpatient program. I don't know about that. That's a question to ask. Like I said, I was only doing something, a topic tonight on why routine is important in recovery, and all this blossomed out of that. So,
well,
that you did it.
Yeah.
Your subject tonight was not your usual silly, fun, humorous, uplifting. It was serious and very smart and helpful, and the topics of anxiety and routine are terrific and so important for the rest of our new lives.
Yes, I agree. Well, I'm really happy that I happened upon that site. Like I said, I don't think that things happen by accident. The topic was mine. I came up with the topic on my own and then just...
It was meant to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It was meant to happen. As this is meant to happen, this is going to be 3 minutes and 27 seconds of my bathroom contractor.
Yeah, crack up every time you say that.
Doing a song called Never Alone. And instead of calling him my contractor, Hard Times Band, my contractor's name is Brooke Moorhead. And so here's to the bathroom where I hope I'm going to be alone. But anyway, we're right now, because he's working on it, I am never alone. So 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Let's rate my contractor and have some laughs, Jenny.
Down, right.
Phone rings, you know I'll have to go. But if I had my way, we'd never say goodbye. But no matter far away they send me. I'll be with you all the time, 'cause you're never alone. I close my eyes, you're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me even when I'm gone. So you're never alone. I can't tell you when I'm coming home again, and I know this isn't easy. Don't cry, and I hope you understand. This is something I just have to do. But you're never alone. I close my eyes, and you're right where you belong. You're never alone, even when I'm called away from home. I'll keep you with me.
Okay, everybody, that was Never Alone by the Hard Times Band featuring my contractor, Brooke Morehouse. He said, DJ typed in the chat room something about my plumber sounds like Alan Jackson, and I said, contractor DJ, he just points at everyone else and tells them what to do. Then I think he goes and sits in his truck and writes songs and listens to his CDs. I'm not sure. What were you going to say, Jenny?
I was going to say his sound and voice and tempo and music and the lyrics, if that is all him and his band,
yeah,
he needs be on X Factor because he would absolutely
awesome. Yeah, I know. I thought he was really good. He gave it to me today on the fly, and I ran to the laundromat. My husband came home. At the end of the day, they were still working, but I ran to the laundromat because Libby has had a couple of accidents on my sheepskin pelt and while she's learning. And so I got to just skim through a couple of these songs. A couple of them weren't appropriate for here. They're kind of really good cry-in-your-beer kind of music, but not what I want to bring with me to the show. One of them brought tears to my eyes. I really liked it. I'll share it with you guys sometime, but there's a reason why I don't really want to play that one on the show either. But I did pick out three of them, and it looks like we have like 6 minutes left, and so I think what I'll do, if you don't mind, and you guys liked him, I'll play one more of his songs, and then we'll all say goodnight. This
Sounds
song
fighting the flu.
Oh, God bless you.
Oh, boy.
I did that for 2 weeks, and now I'm hoping to not do it again. Actually, my clock says 11:57, so we might get cut off, but I'm going to close. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thank you so much for being here tonight. This song is 3 minutes and 49 seconds. It'll take us out of the hour. So again, Hard Times Band, this is What About Me?
Good night.
Good night, you guys.
Good night, Jim. And everybody.
Say it's really over, that I've done it good this time. Well, I guess it's just the way it has to be. You say there's nothing I can do to make you stay, and you go to your mother's until I clean out my things. But does it
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Did you know that Future Health can help make weight loss resolutions come true? When it's about biology and not willpower, it's not your fault that dieting just doesn't work. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes and for less than $3 a day. Traditional diets don't work because nearly 70% of weight is genetically determined. Through medication, you can work with your body rather than against it to create safe and long-lasting weight loss results. I have a family member that's been struggling with her weight for quite some time. No matter how hard she tries, no matter how limited her food intake, she just can't get the weight off. Well, with Future Health, they make access to qualified doctors that know GLP-1s easier than ever. Get ongoing support from over 6,000 physicians and licensed pharmacies nationwide. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes at TryFH.com.
TryFH.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at doctor's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
With a VSP individual vision plan, you're the one pulling the strings. Because taking care of your eye health after retirement comes with a lot of decisions that only you should make, like choosing how to save on the lens enhancements you need, the right name brand frames for your style, and choosing your eye doctor from the nation's largest independent doctor network. Even how you enroll is up to you. Make the best decisions for your vision at the eye doctor's office, retail locations, and online with VSP individual vision plans.